what people say. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Ancient of Days, we magnify you. Father, we give you praise. Thank you for the words we've heard so far this morning. We ask, oh God, that your name be glorified. I ask, oh God, that you breathe upon the immutability of your counsel this morning. And Lord, speak a word in season to us in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask, oh God, that one of us will be transformed permanently in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Somebody say a loud amen. Please, you may be seated. Comfortably seated. Hallelujah. Very quickly this morning, I have the privilege to minister on the topic, dominating by the power of sacrifice. And so I'd like to appreciate this privilege, and I believe that God's name will be glorified in the name of Jesus. Please open your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and in verse, from verse 1. Ecclesiastes 11 from verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall towards the south, or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seeds, in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly, light is sweet and a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. This morning, we want to understand the basic covenant walk for dominion. We are talking about dominating by the power of sacrifice. And we want to first of all understand the basic covenant walk that helps you to exist in the realms of dominion. And then secondly, we want to understand the power of sacrifice for dominion. The power of sacrifice for dominion. And so we're looking at two things, the covenant walk and sacrifice. We'll be reading some other passages shortly. But you see, as far as the issue of kingdom wealth is concerned, Ecclesiastes 11, 1 to 6 is a key scripture. The key is in the principles of seed time and harvest. Let's look at Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Genesis 8, 22. Genesis 8, 22 says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Hallelujah. And so, the first thing that we want to look at this morning is the fact that readiness to follow the pathway of the covenant is key to walking in financial dominion and dominion in life as a whole. The first verse of this passage we read says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. So your willingness to take the action to cast your bread upon the waters. When you look at that scripture critically, you take in what you are supposed to eat, what was supposed to feed your body and be of nourishment to you, what you are supposed to clothe and you are supposed to drive and you are supposed to use, you take it and you cast it on the waters. That is the first step in walking in the covenant. Your willingness and your readiness to do what it takes to do in order to exist in the realm of the covenant. Let me stop here and say today that after this message today, If anyone that takes action shall be rising to such a level that people will begin to suspect you that you have an oil well. People will begin to carry rumors about you that there is some source that is backing you. Why? Because what God does to the covenant practitioner is beyond the comprehension of human understanding. And I declare it shall be so for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, we see that in verse two, it says, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Give a portion, give, and then give again. Number two, give, and then give again. When we talk about walking in the covenant, you do it and you do it again. You practice it today and you practice it again tomorrow. It says give and then you give again. But don't just give in and give it again. You give above what it is that you might have originally intended to give. It's a key to walking in dominion in the realms of the wealth of this world. Praise the Lord. That verse says give a portion to seven and also to eight. You were planning to give a portion of seven, then you took it further and did a portion for eight. It shifts you in the realms and in the dimensions of wealth. Number three is what I call consistency. Consistency. You're practicing the covenant. You don't do it haphazardly. You don't do today and stop tomorrow. You do it consistently. Verse 3 says, if the cloud be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they do what? They empty themselves upon the earth. So you continue to fill your cloud. You continue to sow your seed. You continue to allow evaporation to take place from your hand in the direction of God. You allow your seed sowing and your covenant practices to continue consistently. You come to a point that your cloud gets so full that it must rain down a blessing on you. I've said it before that God's servant and I are walking in a realm where our cloud is consistently full. So you tip it small like this, it just overflows. You just tip small, another giving, rain is pouring. You just tip it small, rain is pouring. But when your cloud is still small and shriveled and a little bit tiny cloud somewhere up in the sky, there is still so much effort that needs to be put to get your cloud full. How many of you have ever seen a dark cloud full of rain during the rainy season? You are trying to get somewhere. You look at the sky and you see a big dark cloud full of rain. You don't need a prophet to tell you that it's about to rain cats and dogs. If you need to take cover, you take cover. If you need an umbrella, you take an umbrella. If you need to run into a car or a house, you do that, because that cloud has been filled with water from evaporation from the earth's surface, and at any time, it will just explode. God is about to bring somebody to the point where your giving, your consistency, your repeated filling up of your cloud in the realms of the spirit financially is about to bring you to a point where your cloud is consistently full and heavy. Consistently full and heavy. At every point in time, in the realm of your finances, there will be no clear weather. The rain will be pouring. There will be no clear weather. No clear weather for the devil to impose poverty on you. No clear weather for the devil to make you a beggar or a pauper. If there is a believer in the house, you shout loudly, amen. Number four is, what you do is what determines your outcome. What you do on a consistent basis is what determines your outcome. You don't do things haphazardly and expect to see things in order. Order is the foundation for wonder. I heard that from God's servant for the first time. Your order in life is a foundation for wonders happening around your life. That passage in verse 3 says that in part B says, if the tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. So how you order your financial life is how your financial life will be. If the tree falls to the north or it falls to the south. Where it falls is where the tree remains. How you practice your covenant practices is your outcome. God is telling somebody here today that it's time to order your life. Tell yourself, Becky, it is time to become more ordered in your financial life. It is time to become more ordered in my financial life. Number five, we see that in verse 4. Number 5, disregard discouragement. Totally turn a blind eye to discouraging factors as far as your financial work is concerned. It says, in verse 4, it says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Many of us want to give, we want to sow, we want to do our regular kingdom practices, but we look at the financial climate. Somebody say, the way the country is, I don't know what's going to happen. No, let me better store all the money I have in the bank. I better not give. I better not do this. I better not do that. But you see, in that time that you are holding back, you are also limiting God from what he's about to do. During the time of construction of this sanctuary, I remember at such a time, you can imagine the demand for finances. Someone came to the site one day. He's a structural engineer and owns a construction firm in Abuja. And he said, what? These pillars, those pillars at the back under the galleries there. He said, one of these pillars will be how many millions? Hundred and something million, 200 million for each one of these. That's what you are doing like this effortlessly. He could calculate by his knowledge what it should be costing. But in the midst of such a construction, we were assisting ministries in other places. There were ministries where there was this particular ministry. They had a big structure they had done in a rural place, quite a rural environment, and they had not roofed. We took that ministry up and roofed the whole of that building, as at that time our roof was not yet up. But you cannot do such things and then not expect to experience wonders of provisions and supplies. That's what we're talking about. You don't look at the circumstances that is around you when it is time to give. Number 6 is absolute trust. Absolute trust in God. In verse 5 he says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all things. Beloved, the day you know how that baby grew inside the womb of the mother and was born in 9 months, then that's the day you'll be able to understand how God orders finances. Otherwise, it's not explainable. What God does, you can't explain it. You can't fathom it. You are wondering, God, is this what you do? Is this how you do things? God gives you beyond your expectations. He does for you beyond your imagination. I hope you understand that when you talk about seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping, it's not just getting exact money that you put back. It is getting favors. It is getting discounts. It is getting favors that moves you into where other people could not get into. You'd find yourself, what is happening? How did we get this line on the airport road? What kind of favor is this? It is a result of seed time and harvest. Somebody is about to experience supernatural supplies that shall amaze your life and destiny. If you believe it, shout a loud amen. Number 7 is sowing in different times and seasons. Always doing it. Verse 6 says, in the morning, sow your seeds. In the evening, withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper, either this one or that one, whether they both shall be alike good. You came into service, your free will offering is going on, you did it. Your tithe time is coming, you do it. Your other kinds of givings are happening, you do it. And you are just going ahead and doing what you should do. At the end of the day, when your harvest comes, you don't know which way it came from. That's what that passage is telling us. You don't know how it came about, but something came about. something happened. And when that happens, you all you have to do is to thank God and then continue the practice. You know, the person we just read earlier about you don't know how a baby is formed in the mother's womb. Any medical doctor here knows that the subject called embryology is the grayest area. You just read it by faith, cram it by faith. You might not, most times, let me be honest with you, I didn't understand what that embryology textbook was talking about. I just crammed what I needed to cram to write the exam. After all, there is nothing you are going to do with doing with the way the baby grew in the womb. Just know it on the surface. You don't need to know how God will bring back your harvest when you have sowed that harvest, that sowed that seed. All you need to know is, Lord, you that does wonders and creates a baby in the womb, I have sown this seed, go and create this baby for me. I don't know how you do it. A man gives one seed to his wife, and the wife donates one seed, and there is a fertilization. And that one microscopic seed that can only be seen by a microscope, that seed begins to grow in the womb, and it comes out in 9 months as a full human being with 200 and something bones, with muscles, with tissues, with arteries, with veins, with nerves, with synovial fluid joints, with organs, with eyes and nose and mouth and legs, and the child starts walking. That is the mystery of seed time and harvest. God is about to give somebody a harvest after today in the name of Jesus Christ. For the failure of time, I will not be able to go far in enumerating types of seeds and types of givings. But let me just suffice to say that if you want to walk in the covenant as an individual, there are basic things that you must practice. Number one is your tithe. I'll just mention the scriptures you read when you get home. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. Bring in all your tithes into the storehouse. Number 2, after you have done the tithe basically is not a giving, it's an obligation. It is the portion inside your money that belongs to God. It didn't belong to you to begin with. So you, the next time you receive a $10,000 bundle, just look at that money. What came to you is actually $9,000. There's that 1,000 on top that has nothing, it's not for you. It belongs to God. It is part of the package in order for God to test your sincerity and your commitment to Him and your recognition of Him as a provider. That 10% goes back to God as a tithe. Number 2 is your free will offering. Number 3 is your prophet's offering. Number 4 is your parental givings. Number 5 is your giving to the poor and the less privileged. I like to advise people to percentageize these things. You don't do it in random motion. If not, your harvest will come in random motion. You do it calculatedly, strategically. Someone says, oh, but I'm not on a salary. I don't have a fixed amount that comes my way. Then simply make sure that you come to a point in a month that you do a zero accounting and you don't spend any money that comes your way that month until the whole month ends. You get a total of what came to your hand. When you have tightened it and then you do the percentage for your other kind of givings, you can now spend out of what you have left over. That one you are spending now is now what you will spend in the new month. So that new month, let me put it this way, all the money that came to you in the month of April, you didn't spend it. You put it together. When the month ended, you tithed and did your kingdom practices, and then you keep your percentage to spend on yourself. So that the whole of the month of May, everything that is coming now, you don't touch it. You are spending that one that was left over from April. You don't touch what is coming in May. You keep it until May ends. When May ends, you do your tithe, you calculate your other givings before you spend out of it. So you leave 1 month ahead, or is it 1 month behind? Whatever. But taking fresh money, they are giving you money now in your hand. You carry it and you eat it. Someone gave you a gift for your baby or for your child. You carried it, ate it. You sold in the market as a businessman, a businesswoman. You just carried the whole capital, interest, profit, get it. Such a life has no future. It's time for us as pastors, ministers, church members, laymen, workers in the house of God, workers in the business place, to begin to order our finances. If there is no order, there can be no wonder. What about the issue of sacrifice? What about the issue of sacrifice? Sacrifice is when you go over and above what your covenant practice is. You have done your tithes. You have done your normal prophet's offering, free will offering, giving to your parents, giving to the less privileged. You have done that consistently. Then you want to go an extra mile. Let's look at a few Bible passages and then we'll look at it. Number one, you do sacrifice for four reasons. So I'm going to do it all together. Four reasons. Number one, because there is a need. There is a need, or because there's you desire an exchange. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. So Anna rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat down upon a seat by a post by the temple of the Lord's house, and she was in the bitterness of soul and prayed and wept unto the Lord. And then I'll summarize the rest. She promised God that, God, I see that you need a priest. If you will give me a son, I have not had children for many years. If you will give me a son, I will give that son back to you as a priest. That was a sacrifice. She didn't have a child yet, and yet she was confident to say, if you give me the child, I will give the child back to you. That is sacrifice. There are people that will say, God, if you give me $1 million, I will give it back to you for your work. If you will give me $1,000, I will give it back to you for your work. If you will give me 10 million naira, I will give it back to you for your work. That is sacrifice and vows. God is an honor. He honors it. And then when he honors it, he's on the lookout for your fulfillment and your hearkening to it. Praise the Lord. Now, when God, number two, when you do sacrifice, it can be in times of danger. In times of danger. If you look at the Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 9, 1 Samuel 7 9, in times of danger, and Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord, and Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. When the Lord heard him, what happened? The Philistines were discomfited, and the children of Israel won the battle. When you are faced with situations and you don't know what to do, turn to God with a sacrifice. God's servant has told us the story many times about Oral Roberts, who was given a diagnosis to die, and he told the wife to give everything, half of all that he owned, and it was done, and God gave him back life up to 40 something years afterwards. What about John D. Rockefeller? Also the same kind of situation. He was to die at in his 40s or early 50s, and he gave a sacrifice of all that he had at that time, that level of wealth, and God preserved his life, and he lived to 90 something years of age. God answers sacrifice when there is need and danger. Number three, when you give as a battle seed. A battle seed. Look at the story God's servant read yesterday in 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 26 to 27. This is so extreme. Anytime I read it, I still have goosebumps. It says, and when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords and to break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not. Then look at that. Then he took his eldest son that would have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. That was extreme. But he took a whole child and he sacrificed it. Nobody is asking anybody to give their child as sacrifice. There was a meeting we were in one day, and we preached this line, and one woman brought her baby and said, let her drop the baby in the offering basket as sacrifice. Everybody laughed and said, no, that is not a sacrifice. That would end up being a liability. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So a battle seed is when you give what is precious, what is dear, what is expensive, what otherwise you would not have been able to do. We have some battle seeds in life, many times in life, battle seeds, and God always answers. God is about to answer somebody's battle seed after today in the name of Jesus. And then number four is, when you give a sacrifice out of pure love and worship. Out of pure love and worship. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 and 10. 7 to 10. We'll just read probably 7. But when let me get that passage out. The woman with the alabaster box of ointment. Where's my history? Woman with the alabaster box of ointment. When she came before the master, she brought an alabaster box and she broke it on the head of the master. And the disciples were like, why is this waste of ointment being done? Thank you. 26. I forgot to write the 2. Matthew 26, verse 6. It says, and when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, ICT, thank you, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Look at what it says. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? They called that sacrifice a waste. Why? Because they said it could have been sold for much money and given to the poor. Jesus told them, you have the poor with you always. Why are you troubling this woman? I announce to you today, by reason of your sacrifices, every troubler of your life shall be arrested in the name of Jesus. Everyone, every man, every woman, every situation that has troubled your life, the Master Jesus shall rebuke them for your sake. If you believe it, jump up on your feet and shout a loud amen. Lift up your hands and your voice and let us pray. Within our remaining 4.5 minutes, we'll be 3.5 minutes, we'll be telling God, Father, I want you to baptize me with the grace to walk in the covenant. Can I tell you something? There are some people, it is harder to make them pay their tithe consistently than to bring blood out of the back of a camel, of a tortoise. Glue. There are people, what I'm sharing with us today, I have sat with them like this, one-on-one, and shared it with them, showed them. I even took paper, how much is your salary? Okay, this is the calculation, this is the percentage. So every month, this is what to do, this is what to do, till tomorrow. I'm sorry, at least maybe today, because maybe after today, something will happen to their life. Okay, till yesterday. They haven't started practicing it, and they are still languishing in poverty. It doesn't matter your starting point, oh. It doesn't matter where you are to start with. The amount of money you have now that you are to start with, if you will consistently practice it, you'll be amazed what God will do with your life and destiny. We are living testimonies. We learned these things, practiced them before we became pastors, sir. Before entering into ministry, you don't have to be a pastor for people to bring truckloads to your house. You don't. You don't have to. It's practicing the covenant. Lift up your voice. Say, Father, help me to effectively, consistently, persistently practice the covenant. Oh Lord, help me. Grant me the grace. Lift up your voice and pray. Help me to practice the covenant effectively, efficiently, oh Lord, consistently. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You are going to ask, God, break the hold of mammon, the hold of money from my life. Let it just die. There was some time years ago, before we came into ministry, we emptied our accounts. I mean as in empty, pata pata, zero. Nothing left in the account. Then on top of that, we emptied our clothes. The whole wardrobe. Today,
You'll be looking for where to put cloth.
Today, before you can finish signing a check and bring your account to 000 or let's say 1,000 naira as the closing balance, before you wake up, the account has started running back. Because a time of sacrifice was done and it has been followed by consistent sacrifices. We are going to lift up your voice, say, Father, like Bishop Oyedepo, when God told him you can never be poor again, doesn't matter what you do, ask God today, Father, bring me, call your name, to the point today of that day that I did a sacrifice that I would never be able to recover from. Lift up your voice and pray. Bring me to that point that I would step into the realms of sacrifice that I would never be able to recover from it. The realms of giving that I would never be able to recover from it. Let's not talk about it. Oh Lord, bring me to a point of sacrifice. Bring me to that point, oh God, that landmark sacrifice that will transform my life and transform my destiny. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. I will leave you praying one more prayer. It is not just doing it once. It's the consistency of it that is the key. I was discussing with God's servant and I remember the car park on this wing was personal funds. We just woke up. Just God someone said, I want to do a sacrifice. It was around December. I want to do a sacrifice. How much is the balance in all the accounts? Decided, and we virtually cleared the accounts, cleared dollars, and then called the accountant and said, we want this car park on this side done immediately. All the asphalt, everything. And guess when this happened? It happened, you know, God has a way of preparing you. It happened in the December of 2019, just before we entered the new year and lockdown started. COVID lockdown started. Everything looked bleak, but you know what God did? In the COVID lockdown, we had no idea that there was lockdown or that people did not have income. There was no idea. Why? Because a major sacrifice had just been done. Tell God today, Father, move me on time. Every time I need to do a sacrifice, every time I need to set the order in my life for me to move into the realm of finances, for me to move into higher dimensions, Lord, I ask for your help.
Anybody bless this morning, say a loud amen. The number one thing that put Solomon in dominion was sacrifice. Charge. He offered 1,000 burnt offerings and God appeared. He said, what do you want? So, I'm not struggling to be important. All I want is give me wisdom. He said, you know what? Everything that had to do with dominion and greatness, I will give you honor, I will give you riches, I will give you wisdom, I will position you in a place where there is nobody before you or after you that is like you. The dominion power of sacrifice. If you don't know sacrifice, you don't know power yet. If God wants to change your level, he will call for a sacrifice. Give me your son, your only son, Isaac. Abraham did that. And Abraham is on the earth till today through the children of Israel. Somebody say a loud amen. Maybe in the course of this program, God may place on you the demand for sacrifice. In this ministry, it is not possible for us to call a sacrifice that we cannot be involved in. In those days where we say, how many people will give 1 million? I will not, the highest amount I will call cannot be less than what I can give. Impossible. I can't be asking people to give and I'm not at the forefront of giving. The account officer may prove me wrong, but the frequency of checks that leave us, myself and my family, into this ministry, the frequency, maybe they might convince me if there is any other such frequency commission-wide. And I say that in all humility. Because if God called me, I shouldn't expect other people to be more serious about the calling. I shouldn't expect other people to be more interested in the call. There are people, I mean, we are very, very dangerous givers. One man came to me and said he was expecting money in 8 zeros. If all of it come, he wants to give all of it to God. I prayed for him, all of it came. Very, very dangerous givers. Beloved brothers and sisters, it's a new day for you. It's a new day for you. I see that somebody is at a junction of shift, a junction of change. The money will collapse from our 2 accounts in the course of this construction. And the exchange rate of that time converted is in 6 zeros in Forex. Of that time. Right? 7 figure. Collapsed. That is zero. When we wanted to move there from one of the banks, they say, please leave it first. Let the month end. Leave it first. Let the month end so that they can enter their end of month balance. We say, okay. We leave it. All pulled out until account is 000. And today, by his message, we don't struggle. Take the lead in sacrifice, and no devil can keep you behind in authority. It is a new day.
You are coming back with your testimony.
We do believe that you have been blessed by this message. To place your order for audios and DVDs of our messages, please contact us +234 80 332 00320, +234 80 331 44509, +234 704 00 74930, or visit our website at www.dunamisgospel.org. Remember, the devil is not in control. God is in control.
Child, Allah can't stop it.